Okay.
How about after I'm done? How about when I'm done? Okay. All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We want to finish up this subject of things you should look out for. Things you should look out for. First of all, let's just read this passage here. Kind of gives us a little groundwork for it here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Things that you need to look out for today. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And then this verse is the reason why I'm doing this series of messages. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. You know, a good minister will preach a message on things to look out for today, okay? He will put you in remembrance of these things which are just mentioned in verses 1 through 5, how that in the end times, latter times, individuals are going to depart from the faith. And certainly we are in that kind of a situation today. There's a departure from the doctrine, departure from the faith, and teaching things that are not biblical. And so we need to just be constantly bringing into your remembrance things you should look out for today. If you remember, well, number one was, look out for those who want to say that love and unity is more important than doctrine. Look out for that. Number two, that experience is more important than truth. People come around and say, well, this happened to me. I don't care what the Bible says. I've actually heard people like that, people who claim to be Christian. I'll say, well, I don't care what the Bible says. This is what happened to me. Well, wait a minute. You know what? You need to submit your experience to the Word of God. And don't just say, well, because I felt it, it must be right. No, you need to have a Bible verse for it. You need to have a Bible standard for it. And then number three, we mentioned, look out for women preachers. And our passage of scripture there would be 1 Timothy chapter 3, where it says, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. I don't know about you, but it seems more and more ministries today are women-led rather than men-led. And that's a sad commentary going on in our religious world today. So watch out for that. And then we went, number four, all the isms. Look out for the isms. Remember? Calvinism. That's the teaching that God only wants certain ones saved. I'm just going to say it in as nice a way as I can say it. That's a hellish doctrine. All right. And then look out for Arminianism, which is the teaching that you can be saved today, and then down the road you can either forfeit that or lose it based upon your performance, how you're doing, and then you may end up having to get saved again. Look out for that teaching. Folks, once saved, always saved. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from our sin, and we can't do anything to add to that. It's complete what Christ has done. And no man can pluck you out of his hand. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Not hope that you would, but know that you have eternal life. That's 1 John 5:13. Look out for the other ism, pragmatism, which says the end justifies the means. A lot of churches are doing this today. Whatever it takes to get people in, do it. Because your end is you're hoping to be able to get them under the gospel message or something. So they end up lowering their standards and so forth in order to get people to come into their church services. Look out for that. Then we said another ism is evolutionism. That's the teaching that we all came from a A mistake that happened out there a long time ago. A big bang. None of these things are provable. And evolution is a false doctrine. And basically, the fool has said there is no God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the heavens and the earth. Then look out for this ism, ecumenism, which is a movement among churches to get all the churches under one umbrella. And everybody to just follow one church. And of course, I don't know if you've ever heard about it, but in the end times, there is going to be a one world, what? Church, a one world church. It's coming, if it's not already here. And we gotta stand up against that. Because you can't have a church filled with people who do not believe the doctrines of the Word of God. And so we need to stand true to that and look out for the isms. Another thing we need to look out for, another point was wrong Bible versions. Remember we went over that? Yea, hath God said, and we looked at several passages as opposed to what the New Modern Versions say. Look out for wrong Bible versions. That's a attempt of the devil to take away God's word from you. Now tonight, I want to go a little further here. Here's another thing to look out for, and this is big. It's just playing out big. Look out for ungodly music in the churches. I don't know about you or if you understand or not. Music is a major driving force in the churches today. I mean, the music ministry runs the church. And really, it should be the other way around. It should be the preaching and teaching of the Word of God that runs the music. And the tail is wagging the dog, okay? That which should be following the preaching and teaching of the Word of God is wagging the dog, meaning the music. And churches have given in to the worldly kind of music to bring it into the churches. And it's just part of that pragmatism thing. The end justifies the means. So we'll use whatever kind of music we can use that people like, young people like, get them into the church, and then we'll zap them with the gospel somehow. You know what? What you win them with is what you win them to. If you try to win them with rock and roll, which is sexual in nature, if you try to win them with rock and roll music, that's what you're going to win them to. A life that's not going to be lived for the Lord. And a church that's not going to have standards. And it's not going to be godly. And next thing you know, the young people are going to be doing things they should not be doing. And you can really put it right back to the music ministry of a church. We're going to have to just stick with the old-fashioned music. Stick with it and keep on singing it. They're still good songs and they please the Lord, I believe, so much more than rock and roll. Ungodly music. Here's a verse of scripture for you on this. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Boy, how did rock and roll music get into the churches? It's hard to just to understand how it could ever be brought in, but it's there. And you know what? It's there to stay. So you're going to have to find a church that isn't going to give into that and cave into that. It's here to stay. What is the rock and roll music in the churches? And it's going to take a real strong stand and a determination not to go the way of the world to keep a church faithful in its music ministry. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and you know, every time I see that word world there, I can just say rock and roll music. That's the world's music. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. By the way, that's pretty much what the message of most of the music is today. What is that? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You ever see some of the pictures on the front of your CDs and the things that you might buy? It's always a suggestive woman there in a suggestive pose. trying to get you to listen to her music. And even in the Christian music world, I see this going on. And not only that, if it might be a band of some kind. And I've seen this, Christian music. And the band there, the members of the band have long hair, have pierced ears and earrings coming out all over the place. Some of them even look like the demon type groups that there are. And this is Christian. This is supposed to be Christian. I don't believe it's Christian. I think it's of the world, just like these verses right here. And we're not to love the world or anything like it. Verse 15 continues, or verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. You know what? When we get to heaven, I do not believe we're going to hear rock and roll music up in heaven. I just don't believe that that's what we're going to hear when we get to heaven. If you think so, well, that's your prerogative to think that way if you want to. I cannot imagine Jesus Christ getting involved in a hip-hop dance with some of the angels and with us when we get there. Can you imagine Jesus getting alone with one of you ladies? Oh, come on, let's hip-hop. I can't see my Savior doing that. I can't see my Savior doing the modern dance that goes along with rock and roll music. And swiveling of the hips and everything else looking like ungodly things that you're doing. Can you imagine our Savior doing that? And yet, when they bring that music into the church, they're saying to all the young people in that church, this is the music God likes. I cannot imagine my Savior going along with the rock music, the Christian contemporary music of this day, and the dance and the hip hop. All of this has been called Christian today. It's in the so-called Christian churches. And by God's grace, we can't have it here. Look out for these things. Look out for it. And when you see it happening, you determine in your heart, you know what, I'm not going along with that. That cannot be pleasing unto the Lord. Ungodly music. Things that you should look out for today. Another thing you should look out for today is bad examples. Bad examples. You know, you can follow the wrong person. And so you don't want to follow bad examples. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. If someone's not a very good example, don't follow them. Follow someone who's a good example. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren. All right, so that means the believers, all right? Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. And why is that encouragement given here? Verse 18 and 19. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That's the end of that parenthesis. See in your Bible, there's like parentheses around verses 18 and 19. Paul, for a moment there, after telling them, look, follow good examples. Don't follow. And then he says, here's an example. For many walk, whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. That's hard to believe. That within the first century of the Christian church, which Paul, the writer of this book, was involved in, that within the first century, it was already a problem for the believers to make sure they follow a good example. Well, if that was a problem back then, that made Paul even tell them this weeping. I mean, what kind of things were going on that would cause Paul to weep over saying to the believers, listen, don't follow the wrong men. Weeping. Now, you know what? I could see him weeping today. Because things have gotten really bad today. Don't follow a bad example, someone who isn't following just like the Apostle Paul did, but who, in verse 19 says, whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame. You know, these ministries all around, especially the United States, many of them big, huge ministries, and the preachers and the leaders of these ministries, their God is their belly. Money. You know, it's just amazing how much money is involved in some of these ministries. And they, most of their time that they spend in ministering is spent in how to get the money out of the pockets of the people that are sitting in front of them. I don't know if you've noticed here at Ray Street Baptist Church, we sometimes even forget to announce that we take an offering. But God provides, God takes care. And I am not going to start changing and start begging and, you know, trying to wrench the money out of you. I feel this way. Look, if you really like what we have here, you'll support it. And you don't have to be browbeaten and things like that to get the money out. We should be willing to give out of a heart of thanksgiving unto the Lord. And so on your way out tonight, put all your money in the offering box. All right. And I'm just joking a little bit there. Those on the internet listening to me, you just have to learn how Pastor Freeman is sometimes. Okay. All right. Well, that's another thing that we should look out for. Bad examples. If you're at Philippians, just turn to go to the left a little bit to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Bad examples, look out for them. Ephesians 5 verse 11 says this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Not only don't follow a bad example, but expose the bad example for what it is. Rather reprove them. You know, a lot of Christians don't like it when a minister starts naming a name or naming an organization that isn't following the Bible the way they should. They kind of get a little squeezy. Oh, don't name it. Don't talk about it. Well, hey, you know what? If you got a flock of sheep and off the distance there's a wolf walking around who's got, you know, sharp teeth and he's drooling and he's hungry, what are you going to say as the shepherd? Oh, sheep, don't. Yeah, there's somebody over there, but I wouldn't worry about it. No. As a good shepherd, you'd get those sheep together. You'd say, look out for the sheep, wolf coming to take you. You'd be warning them the best you can. And that's the job of a preacher. And that's how we should be. Don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Another verse for this would be 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 through verse 11. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Wow. You mean the early church believers needed to be told that? Yes. If they had to be told that, guess what? We need to be told that. You know what? In some churches, the minister himself, or maybe even herself, has already been accused of committing fornication. And he or she is back in the pulpit preaching. You know what? That ought not to be. Once you've done something like that, you're no longer ever going to be a minister in a good Bible-believing church. And we got some men that are still in the pulpit after having disgraced themselves, and it ought not to be. Here we're told, don't company with fornicators. Yet not altogether, in verse 10, with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. You know, we can't totally keep ourselves away from everybody. Otherwise, we'd have to leave the world, okay? But, verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. If someone says, oh, I'm a Christian, yeah, but you're living in sin. You're living in adultery. You're living in fornication. And you haven't taken care of it and repented of it and gotten it right with God. What does it say? I've now written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard. Even a drunkard. Nobody wants to talk about drinking these days. No ministers want to put out the warning against alcohol. We're going to do it here. You know what? Alcohol and the Christian should have nothing in common. And a brother or sister who's given over to alcohol, he needs to get that thing straightened out with the Lord, or we're going to have to separate from them. Same way with one who is a fornicator, or one who is covetous, or an idolater. Someone says, well, I think we ought to put an idol here in Ray Street Baptist Church. I mean, all the other churches have an idol. Oh, no, we're not going to do that here. Little children, keep yourselves from idols, John says. We can't do that. Well, how about if we yoke together in ministry with the Catholic Church? They have idols, and so then we don't have to have idols here, but we can work together with them, can't we, for the cause of the Lord? Oh, no, no, no. If they want to say they're Christian brothers, then they ought to get rid of their idolatry. First, get all the idols out of your church, and then we can talk about what we can do together. With such an one, look at the end of verse 11. With such an one, know not to eat. And that's what the Apostle Paul tells us. You know what? Things you're to look out for today, bad examples. Don't go with them. Stay away from them. Follow good examples. Follow godly and righteous people who are living for the honor and glory of the Lord. And then lastly, I'm just going to put this on the end here. I've already kind of said some of it already. Things you should look out for today. And the reason why I feel that I should say this as we close this out is because it's all around. And the word in the New Testament is fornication. But do you know the Greek word for the word fornication is porneo? And it's the word we use for pornography. Folks, it's all around us. And sometimes it's in your face even if you don't want it to be. Even if you try to avoid it, it's in your face. It's in your face in the newspapers. It's in your face on the billboards you drive down the road. And right there, smack right in your face. They can't sell a car without a naked woman. And that's how they sell the cars. The television. Wow. You're sitting there watching something good and all of a sudden the commercial comes on. Whoa! Oh boy, you want to close the kids' eyes and you can hardly get that accomplished before they've already seen what they shouldn't see. You really need to police your television. And the movie Hollywood scene, folks, it is bad. And now here is something that preachers never even had to deal with before. The internet. The internet. It is so easy to be on there trying to get some information, whatever you're trying to figure out, and bang, right there it comes, right in front of your face. It's very difficult to keep yourself from it. But I'm going to say things you should look out for today. Pornography. And one of the main ways that God has provided to keep men straight is the institution called, and this thing is out of vogue today, marriage. Marriage. Single men, single ladies, you're going to have a tough time in this world. It's going to be difficult. And you're going to have to ask God to help you to keep your eyes pure and keep your mind on good things. Husbands and wives, this thing of pornography tries to get in there and ruin your relationship and ruin your marriage, and it will do it.
And so you've got to be very careful about this. All right, let's take a look at some Bible for it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. First of all, let's just see what God has provided for us. And it's called marriage, getting married, wedding, husband, wife. That's what it is. Genesis chapter 2 and starting at verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." That's what the word woman means, from the side of man. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now, God instituted marriage even before man fell into sin. That's how old the institution of marriage is. And it is a great institution. And however you find yourself in whatever situation you're in, as far as marriage is concerned, when you're saved, you stay in that situation. And keep that marriage strong. Don't let anything get in the way. And I'll tell you what, pornography will get in the way and ruin it. Don't let that happen. You men should not be looking at another woman. Ladies, you should not be looking at another man. Whether it's really with your eyes or with pornography. You got to keep your eyes pure and clean. And one good way, and when I'm on the internet and on the computer, and hey, it happens. It happens. It's happened a few times to myself. Next thing I know, I press the wrong button and I'm somewhere I shouldn't be. You know what I do? I say, "Honey, come here. I want you to see this. I got here by mistake." Okay? I want her to know that this happened. I don't, you know, and you know what I think about? Boy, what if I get into one of those situations, I'm at a place I really shouldn't be by mistake, and I die. Get a, have a heart attack and die. And there I am laying dead. And my wife comes over and looks at me. Oh, no wonder. No wonder God struck him dead. Look what he's looking at. I want her to know, "Look, honey, this came up and it's not good." And I've had to tell her a couple times, "Right, honey, am I telling you the truth? Am I telling them the truth?" "Yes." And it hasn't happened to her yet. She has to tell me. It seems like the devil works on the man, you know, to get you messed up. So men, you really have to think about this thing. And really be open and honest with your wife, or vice versa, wife with your husband. "Look, honey, this, I want you to know I wasn't fooling around here." Just be open. You know what? It established good trust between each of you when you do that. Because we're living in a world where it's just everywhere, abounding. It's just all over the place. And you have to take strong measures to make sure that you keep your eyes clean. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2. "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Is that self-explanatory? You know, to avoid fornication, guess what? Hang on to your wife. Hang on to your husband. And love them. And be truthful with them. And when pornography gets in the way, you make sure you just wipe that right out. And let it be known that you're wiping it out. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Wow, I can remember sitting in churches as a young child. And I was in church. I've been in church as long as I can remember. All right? My dad got saved when I was just a little guy. Probably just a couple, 2, 3 years old. I don't really know how old I was when he actually got saved, but I've been in church all those years. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, just all through my whole life. You know, I never heard preachers preach on pornography. It wasn't something that was really necessary to focus on. And when you would hear that someone had been taken in by it, it was almost, whoa. Today, it's prevalent everywhere. And a preacher, unfortunately, has to warn about it and say, look out for these things today. Hebrews 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You know, husband and wife, enjoy the marriage union. It is a blessed thing. And that bed is undefiled. And, you know, as long as it's a godly thing you're doing, God intended that the bed be a place for you and your spouse to enjoy each other's fellowship together. And enjoy that, even the sexual relations that you can have one with another. That is something that's very great and holy in the eyes of God. Outside of marriage, it becomes ungodly and wicked and sinful, and it will destroy a marriage. So, if you're married and saved, you just nurture that marriage union together and love each other. And don't let pornography get in its way. In closing, let me read Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7. It might be good for you to know that this is even in the Bible. That this Proverbs is actually in the Bible. And oh, how much like today this is. We can call this chapter the harlot's snare, okay? Chapter 7 of Proverbs. My son, the wisest man that ever lived wrote this, Solomon, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. In other words, those are good things. That they may keep thee from the what? Strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, and a young man void of understanding. Solomon saying, you know, I looked out my window one day and I watched this young man. And I watched him as he was taken in by a strange woman. Verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Notice how it's usually at nighttime that these things happen. And by the way, in reference to alcohol and drinking and so forth, you ever notice that bars never have well-lit rooms and you can't see in the windows? Because what's going on in there many times is ungodly and wicked. And when men get drunk, they do things that they wouldn't normally do. And so they keep the lights down and they keep the windows covered. You never see one with bright lights and it's wide open for everybody to see. No, no. Sin's going on in the twilight here. Verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. That's a whole bunch of lies right there, by the way. Okay. Verse 16, I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. Wow. Meaning, most likely her husband's gone. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. How about that? For the Bible. That's in the Bible. You know what? Look out for pornography. It'll cause you to go after strange women. And you got to keep your eyes pure and keep them on the Lord. And when your eyes do find their place in a thing that you shouldn't be looking at, get your eyes off of that right away. Bounce your eyes off of that and bounce it onto the things that belong to the Lord. And keep your eyes clean and pure for the Lord. And you know what? You know what else? Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Be satisfied with her breasts always, the Bible says. Not some strange woman, the one you married. And love her. And by the way, her, you love him. And keep that unity together, and may it be beautiful for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, what you want it to look like is how the church ought to be to Jesus. Jesus is the husband, the church is the bride. And we need to be clean and holy for him and enjoy him as the husband of the church and be a godly bride. All right, well, those are some things I'll look out for today. And it's a sad thing that we even have to talk about some of the things, but it's something that has to be said. And Christian brothers in the Lord, make sure you keep your eyes on the Lord. All right, Jason, I don't know what you were planning to sing on. I asked him to sing something for us. So why don't you come? What do you think you're going to do?
Just a closer walk.
There you go. That's it. That's what you need to do, a closer walk with the Lord as we walk through this world. Go ahead, Jason.
Thank you. Serve the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.